Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John begins a new series entitled, The Birth of Christianity. A major reason why cults are able to make inroads and capture Christians is that the average believer in Christ has very little Bible knowledge and almost no historical comprehension regarding the birth of Christianity. Most churches in the United States emphasize contemporary worship, a short sermonette, and lots of social activities. Thus, the average Christian doesn't really know what to believe and is an easy pick for a trained agent of Satan. In this message, Pastor John shows how Christianity was birthed within Judaism and the struggle Jesus faced because Jews don't believe in personal salvation, but a national Jewish salvation. Jesus also had to contend with the hateful Talmud that says Gentiles are animals with no soul and cannot be redeemed. The apostles struggled with this way of thinking, and it was in this turmoil that the New Testament church was birthed. This message is entitled, The Jewish Mindset. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church on July 3rd, 2011. And to those of you living outside the United States, this is a big weekend holiday in America, July 4th, our Independence Day. And our beaches are full. People are camping out and about and having a good time. And very few people really think about that God gave us independence. We should be thanking Him and not doing some other things. So let's stand and let's pray before I get into the message today. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for these moments that you've given me here today. And Father God, this is a teaching message I have today. And I ask you to slow me down, to be precise, and Father God, to lay a foundation that your believers can stand on in these last days. And I praise you right now for an anointing of myself and anointing upon the people, Lord, so that you can understand. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I'd like for you to turn with me to the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. The Gospel of Luke, the second chapter. And this week, as I was talking to a person in the ministry, I was shocked and I realized that even if you have been in a church for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, many do not understand the Bible. So I want to talk to you today about the birth of Christianity. Where do we come from? What is Christianity? And the subtitle today is The Mindset, of the Jewish Mindset. Now, let me just read what I wrote here. Jesus did not start his ministry in a vacuum. On the contrary, he was raised as an Orthodox Old Testament Jew. Luke chapter 2, if we pick it up in verse 21. That's Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of a purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Jesus Christ was not a Gentile. Jesus Christ was a man, but he was God and man. And he was a Jewish man, not a Gentile. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was raised in Judaism. He was raised in the Old Testament teachings. And he observed all things according to the law of Moses. Jesus was under the first covenant, and he was obedient to that covenant. In verse number 39 of the same chapter, we pick this up. That is Luke 2:39. And we read this. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they had been with Jesus down to Jerusalem, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they returned back into Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in a temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed at his mother said to him, Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold, your father and I have sought you, sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? And he understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Jesus had studied the Old Testament. I'm sure that he had it read to him. He had learned to read and write himself. And he was extremely well versed in the Old Testament. He was an Old Testament Jew. He was also God incarnate. Christianity was birthed out of Judaism, not from any other religion. Christianity is an extension of the first covenant. In Genesis chapter 12, which I want to turn to, that Genesis, the 12th chapter, you will find the covenant that he was living under. At Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, Get you out of your country and from your kindred, and from your father's house into the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. And make your name great, that you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. This is the covenant that Jesus lived under. This is the first covenant that was the reason for him to die on the cross. Look at my next headline there. Only Jews could be saved. At the time of Jesus, Judaism taught only Jews had a soul. Gentiles were animals, beasts, goyim. They had no soul. They could not be saved. They were not humans. Only Jews were humans. Turn to Matthew 10:5 now. I'm sure you've read these scriptures many times and you have not really understood why. Matthew chapter 10. And I want to pick it up in verse number 5. That's Matthew 10:5. These 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of Samaritans enter you not, but go run to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Under the first covenant, Gentiles could not be brought into salvation. And Jesus simply followed the tradition here and simply told his 12 apostles, do not preach to the Gentiles, preach only to the Jews. And that's exactly what they did. Now, if you turn to Matthew 15, we learn some more about this. Matthew 15, have you picked it up in verse number 21? Matthew 15, 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out to the same coast, and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord. You son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered not a word. His disciple came and besought, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look at that. You read that before? Did you understand that? Jesus said, I came only to the lost sheep of Israel. That's what he came under the first covenant. Then came she and worshiped and said, Lord, help me. But he answered, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Have you ever heard a pastor explain to you why Jesus called this woman a dog? Because she was an animal, according to Judaism. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you will. And the daughter was made whole for that very hour. When Jesus walked on the earth, he basically ministered to Jews. He ministered to the Roman centurion, healed his servant. But he stayed under the first covenant, and he stayed within the Jewish community. The next thing I want you to learn is this, because this is very important for you to understand the New Testament. Personal salvation was not taught in Judaism. The Jews today do not have personal salvation. They have a national salvation. Being Jewish saves them. This is what they believe. Now, Jesus simply tried to minister to them and tell them this is not so. If you turn to Matthew 5:20 now, Matthew 5:20, and this is a verse that you've read many times and you really never understood, unless you understood Judaism. Jesus said unto the people, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now the Pharisees and the scribes were holy people. They fasted, they prayed, they went to the temple, they sacrificed, they lived a holy life. And then Jesus said, your rights have got to be better than that. And it astonished them. But if you turn on to John 3, chapter 1, and I believe that today you will understand John chapter 3 like you never understood it before. Jesus now pierced into Judaism and simply said this, there got to be a personal salvation. John 1, 1. Excuse me. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man now was high up in Judaism. The same came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do, except God be with him. Jesus answered to him, verily, verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This was a sword that Jesus pierced into Judaism. National salvation does not exist. You have to be born again. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, said to you, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and where it goes. So is everyone is born of the Spirit. Look at the next verse now. Nicodemus answered to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, said to you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? In Judaism, personal salvation does not exist. It doesn't exist. Today, we have what we call a two-tier theology, where the Christian Zionists are simply saying this, that do not preach to the Jews. They do not need Jesus. God is a different way for them. They will come in to him as a nation. Wrong. They have to be born again. It is interesting now if you compare Judaism with the Roman Catholic Church, both are teaching that you're saved, the Roman Church or the Church, the Jews, through their Judaism. They have rituals. Let me just read this to you so I don't mess it up too much. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that salvation is out of church through infant water baptism, confirmation, taking communion, going to confession, giving money to the church, attending mass, and having last rites before dying. If any of these rituals have not been properly done, a Catholic can always work things out in purgatory. The fact that none of the things are found in the Bible does not matter, since the Roman Catholicism teaches that the tradition of the church supersedes the Bible. Likewise, the Jews in general rely more on the Talmud and the Kabbalah than the Old Testament. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7. This is the Gospel of Mark, If you pick it up in chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, and served on a scribe which came from Jerusalem. And when he saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hand, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. Now, any time you read tradition of the elders, it means the Talmud. That is a Talmud. And when they came from the market, except they washed, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as a washing of cups and pots, brazen vessels or tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not your disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? He answered and said to them, well, as I see a prophet of you hypocrites, as is written, these people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as a washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do. And he said to them, full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition or keep the Talmud. The Roman Catholics, they keep their tradition, supersedes the Bible. To the Jews, the Kabbalah and the Talmud supersedes the Old Testament. If you don't understand that, then you don't understand Judaism. Now, the mindset of the apostles was still Jewish, even after they had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. When Jesus had been crucified, and they waited for him in Jerusalem, the apostles still had the Jewish mindset. Number one, they believed that only Jews could be saved. Second, they believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and he was going to come back in their lifetime and set up the Messianic Jewish kingdom on the earth. To the Jews, the Messiah is not for the world. Let me slow down now, you understand that. Judaism teaches that the Messiah is for them only, not for the Gentiles. And the Jewish Messiah is going to set up an earthly kingdom, and he's going to subdue all Gentile nations and rule them. And the Jews are going to be in leadership, and all Gentiles are going to be slaves. This is how the Antichrist is going to come in. This is what the Jewish people have been working, the leadership have been working for. The Christians don't understand that. Our Messiah, Jesus, died for all people. Their Messiah is not going to die, but he's going to live for the Jewish people only. Thirdly, the apostle had no intention of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And fourthly, all the apostles were interested in, the only thing that matters to them was, Jesus, when are you coming back? Look in Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. That's the 24th chapter of Matthew. If you pick it up here, it verses 1 through 3. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came in to him to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there should not be left here one stone upon another that should not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world. That's all they were interested in. Not all Jews are bad people. Understand that. But the Jewish mindset, as taught in the Talmud and the Kabbalah, is this, that they are humans, where we Gentiles are not. And they have a divine right to rule us. This is why in the Talmud it says that the Jew cannot lie to another Jew, but he's allowed the Jew to a Gentile. Gentiles can be treated like cattle. That's why many very religious Jews are obnoxious. They are simply very hard to get along with. And they are very arrogant. And the reason is the teaching in the Talmud. You teach them that from childhood, and they will be arrogant people. Turn me to the book of Acts, now chapter 1. That's the book of Acts, the first chapter. And we read it from verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, says he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? They were not interested in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They couldn't care less about that. They were interested in a messianic kingdom where the Romans would be kicked out, defeated, and the Jews would be the top dogs in the world. That's what they were looking for. Verse 7. And Jesus said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But you shall receive power that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witness to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Notice now, under the second covenant, Jesus said, now you're going to go out Jerusalem, Samaria, go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all people. Fifthly, the apostles had no intention of setting up a church organization. Instead, they planned on staying in Jerusalem and waiting for Jesus to come back. We have now in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, they simply believed Jesus is coming back shortly. We are not going to leave Jerusalem. We got the temple here. We're going to preach, go to the temple. We're going to enjoy this new covenant. The apostles and the first converts had no intention to leave Jerusalem. Now, trouble came to the church in Jerusalem. Listen, when God cannot make you to do what he wants you to do, he will trouble you. You might lose your job. You might lose your health. There might be a number of things that God simply says, you are not going in my direction. He began to strip you of everything until he simply have you under his control. When you say, yes, Lord, your will, not mine. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 6. The book of Acts chapter 6. Have you read this here? This is the first trouble they had. Because now there were squabbles. And in those days, when the number of disciples were multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected of daily ministration. Then the 12 called a multitude of disciples to them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, that's how they selected deacons. Again, they had no intention of leaving Jerusalem. They fixed this problem and thought, we're going to sit here until Jesus comes back. Now turn to the book of Acts chapter 8. That's the book of Acts. And we turn out to the 8th chapter. Have you picked this up in verse number 8? And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women committed to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. This is how God finally broke up the church in Jerusalem. He simply allowed a tremendous persecution to burst up the church and say, move! I never told you to stay in Jerusalem. I told you to go out into the world. Breaking out of Judaism was not easy. Now, Philip came up to Samaria. If you read in verse number 5, that's Acts 8:5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now, this is a miracle. Samaritans, half Jews, half Gentiles. And the people one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracle which he did. For unclean spirit crying with loud voice came out of men that were possessed with them. And many had taken the palsy that they were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. And then we drop down here to verse number 12. When they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. When he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles, which were in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now, the apostles now got puzzled. What's happening? Who, when they would come down, pray for they might receive the Holy Ghost. For so yet it was fallen upon none of them. Only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now they broke out. And in verse 25, we read this. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, John and Peter began not to preach to half Jews. The first wall had been broken down. Let me now summarize the message here today, which is a teaching message. Judaism at the time of Christ is the same in our days. The rabbis today are teaching nothing different than what was taught at the time of Christ. Remember that. If you want to understand the policy of the state of Israel, you got to understand the theology. And the first thing we learned today is this. Only Jews can be saved. Only Jews. Don't expect any sympathy from Jewish religious people. They have none. Secondly, in Judaism today, there is no personal salvation. There is nothing for them to repent from. They do not have to be born again. They don't have to repent. All they have to do is to be Jewish. Celebrate the Passover. Do little things in the synagogues. And they are just fine. They are going to go to heaven as a nation. The apostles had this mindset. That's when you read the book of Acts to begin with. You don't understand why they did this or that. Now you know why. And they had to break out of Judaism, which was traumatic. Isn't it sad that today the Christian church is encouraged to go back to Judaism? In many charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, Baptist churches, they are again celebrating the Passover or the Seder, going back to Judaism. How many Christian evangelists have you not seen on television wearing the prayer shawl, the little skull cap, blowing the horn, you know, going back to Judaism? It's insanity. It cost the Christians everything to break out. And now at the end, the apostate church, we are in apostasy. We're trying to go back to Judaism. That God simply said, it's over, done with. You're under the second covenant. Now I urge you to go home this week. Study this outline. Do research. Learn that this, what I told you, is truth. And then next week we're going to build on this. Because you see, the religion of the Antichrist. Let me repeat that. The religion of the Antichrist is Judaism. And they're going to give the Gentiles the Noahide laws. Gentiles are going to be forced to have the Noahide laws. And Judaism is going to be the religion of the Antichrist and his regime. And remember this, when the Antichrist comes, you are not Jewish. You are considered an animal, a dog, a beast, and you will have no rights. There are no human rights for animals. You might have some animal rights according to the Noahide laws. This is a teaching message, and I pray to God that you understand somewhat what I try to share with you today, that you will study this so that you will not be fooled when the Antichrist regime is creeping on the scene. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, this is an ugly message I had to bring out, Lord, and it's really not uplifting at all. But Father God, we're living in the end times. And we need to understand where we came from. We need to understand where we're going. And we need to understand what's happening around us. And I pray today, Father God, if there is Catholic people listening to me, Jews or others, Father God, that are not born again, that they will begin to think, Jesus said you had to be born again. I need to investigate that. I am not born again. Father God, I do thank you right now that you will save someone today. And if you're watching me today, and you said, I'm not born again, I begin to understand I need to be born again, what do I have to do? Ask God for forgiveness of your sins. Ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. Renounce your sins. Proclaim Jesus to be the Son of God. Believe that he died on the cross and rose on the third day, and you will be saved. You pray that prayer, and God will save you. Call us, write us, and we will help you. The altars are open. In the name of Jesus, you that are here today, if you have a need, if you're sick, if you have a special need, you want to be prayed for by the elders, you come. And if you have a need that are watching us, call us, write us, and we will respond to you. The altars are open.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person, doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the first part in the series, The Birth of Christianity, and was entitled, The Jewish Mindset. Most Christians have little Bible knowledge and almost no historical comprehension regarding the birth of Christianity, and are an easy pick for a trained agent of Satan. Pastor John showed how Christianity was birthed within Judaism and is based upon the first covenant that God made with Abraham. Jesus was raised an Old Testament Jew and struggled to present the idea of personal salvation and not a national Jewish salvation. He also had to contend with the hateful Talmud that says Gentiles are animals, with no soul, and therefore cannot be redeemed. The apostles struggled with this mindset, and it was in this turmoil that Christianity broke loose from Judaism. Remember the words of Jesus, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1297. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.